Good morning and welcome. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I'm delighted to welcome all of you here this morning. It's nice to see new faces, faces that are not seen too often. So we're really pleased to see you also. And those of you who are with us at home, we are happy to have you there also. So may we really enjoy the service this morning. This is probably the best day of the whole year. Are there any announcements that need to be made this morning? There is a look ahead in the news that came home on Friday, so be sure and check it and mark your calendar for those dates that you can help us and you want to be with us. Next week, there will be a congregational meeting at the end of the service. So if you would like to attend that and plan to attend, please bring along your own lunch. Let us read the responsive reading together.
O
Together we seek the way of God.
The generous,
compassionate,
grace-filled,
inclusive,
abundant,
powerful,
unsettling
way of God. On this day that God has made, may our hearts be open to the good news. Christ is not here, for he is risen. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Let us pray. O merciful God, we praise you, we worship you, and we thank you. On this holy day, we gather to worship in the name of Jesus, by whose death and resurrection we have been redeemed. Let your blessings rest upon each person gathered here. Renew your church in this place and throughout the world as your people assemble in praise and gratitude for this resurrection day. In the name of the risen Lord, we pray. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to open your hymnals, not your hymnals, your purple book, the Sing the Story. Sing with all the saints in glory and let us rise.
Thank you. I'm reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Continue with two readings from Isaiah 52:7, and then jumping ahead to 65 from 17 to the end of the chapter. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they ever come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create a Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought of as a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will enjoy the works of their own hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. They will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they even call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Let's continue with "Lo in the Grave He Lay," number 273 in the hymnal. Let's rise.
Thank you.
be seated. For those of you who would like to continue their support for the church and are not here, it can be sent in. And if you have your offering handy, there is a plate in the back for you. Let us bow for the offering prayer. God speaks to us in wonders and whispers, in silence and scripture, through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we respond fully and freely with hearts and lives given to God Himself. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see everybody. Today we finally get to celebrate. Yay! After 40 days of fasting and some serious lamenting on Friday, we have good news. Great news, in fact. Praise God. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. So I polled a few Christian friends and asked why Easter was spiritually important to them, and this is what they said, and this was like a bunch of text strings with these friends. So the first person said, the Easter bunny, eggs, candy. I think I might have put an eye roll there, or I at least rolled my eyes. He said, no, seriously, it may be the most central piece of the universal narrative. It's God becoming man and finishing the story that was begun from the beginning of time, and bringing all of history, creation, and the fall to rise again on the third day and make all things new. Easter saves us from ourselves and our fallen nature and gives us hope and love and peace and joy and a fulfillment of the promises, with one remaining promise: to live with our Creator for all of eternity. And he says, but I do also believe in living that way right now and then too. I think that is the purest understanding of the promise, living in the fullness of the kingdom now. See, it got better after the eggs and candy thing. My second friend said, as a mom, it's the first holiday since September that hasn't involved mom working like crazy and buying into consumerism minus a little bit of candy. So it is the holiday we can enjoy Jesus' triumph. Also, it is the representation that the Garden of Eden will or has been restored spiritually. Sin is overcome, and we don't need to live in that world anymore. The kingdom has triumphed, and we can live in it, and we don't need to wait. My third friend is a pastor, and as you might know, Holy Week is a busy time for pastors. So she had to respond briefly. She said, Easter is the thing that gives my faith its substance. It's what gives my faith life and purpose. She said, I don't feel that's enough. But that's all I have now. But I actually think that's a lot. The last comment in these strings of Easter texts was this. It's a time to connect with the reality of living with Jesus in the flesh and our triune God into eternity. I have a future beyond this life, and it's with God. I can access maybe two-thirds of God right now. But to hang out with all of God and all of God's massively colorful, diverse creation sounds so exciting. It's the best trip I could ever take. A huge adventure awaits. If I asked the prophet Isaiah what Easter spiritually means to him, he might have said this from Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Beautiful feet. Some of you might not think that feet are beautiful at all. You bristle at the thought of feet, especially bare feet. When we moved back to Pennsylvania from Hawaii, it was hard to get my girls to wear shoes at all. It was hard for me to wear shoes because in Hawaii, people wear flip-flops everywhere. In fact, they call them slippers because you can easily slip your feet in and out of them. And that's important in a culture where you remove your shoes before going indoors. So when we first moved back to Pennsylvania, I'll admit that I didn't really like wearing shoes, especially the kind that your feet are trapped in, like the kind with laces. And to my girls' dismay, a few times I wore flip-flops in the wintertime with socks. It's a bad look, I know. I'm so sorry, girls. I don't do that anymore, usually, sometimes. But seriously, in Hawaii, you see everyone's bare feet all the time. You know who takes care of their toenails and who doesn't. You know whose foot is wide. Who has a long middle toe, that same long middle toe that the rest of their family members has. You know whose toes are deformed from wearing too tight shoes. Or who has bunions. Or who has no nail on their pinky toe. Do you know anyone like that? So strange. Who has calloused pads on their heels so thick that they can walk barefooted on the macadam in the heat of the day. Feet are weird. They're fleshy. They're intimate. They're utterly human. When my mom died, her foot was the last thing I touched when I left her side at Doylestown Hospital. Her beautiful feet. Feet are incredibly important. Some of us have black ink footprints on our birth certificates from when we were born. Infants take their first steps on chubby little toes. We get around on our feet. We have them massaged and pedicured. Some have constant pain in their feet. And we put our feet up when we need some rest. We don't know why Jesus came to earth exactly when he did. Like, why God incarnated at that particular time in history. But when Jesus was born, God became a human to be with us. When Jesus was born, he had beautiful baby feet. The kind that could have been stamped in black ink on a piece of paper. As a young boy, Jesus used those two beautiful feet to wander off in the temple to learn. And as a man, Jesus spent most of his ministry walking all over the ancient Near East on his two beautiful feet on a circuitous route to Jerusalem. Jesus' beautiful feet were lovingly anointed with perfume and tears and hair by Mary of Bethany before he died. Jesus washed his disciples' feet on the eve of the Passover before his hour had come. And when Jesus was crucified, nails were driven through his beautiful feet. At some point after he was laid in the tomb and he resurrected, Jesus got up and walked out on his own two beautiful feet. And when Mary Magdalene discovered the empty tomb, she turned and saw who she thought was the gardener standing there. And the truth was, the gardener was Jesus. Mary and Jesus were face to face. Jesus was standing there with her on his two beautiful feet. And today, right now, Jesus is standing somewhere with Abba in his imperishable body on two beautiful feet. Take a look at your feet right now. Wiggle your toes. Do a little happy toe tapping. Come on, do it. Let me hear it. Stamp your feet with joy. Make a loud sound. Come on. Amen. Because someday, when we are all bodily resurrected, we will be standing with Jesus on these two beautiful feet, doing a happy dance. Hallelujah, because death is defeated. Separation is no more. We'll be back in the garden, walking with God on our two beautiful feet in the cool of the day. And if you want to know what it'll be like, Isaiah gives us a glimpse of this new, glorious new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. He speaks for God and says, "The former things shall not even be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight." So remember when Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem, and when he saw the city, he wept? Well, he won't be weeping this time. God says, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more will there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person that does not live out a lifetime. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. Their offspring will be blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust." So, about this serpent, what don't serpents have? Feet. The serpent has no feet. The serpent has no leg to stand on in God's new kingdom. But we do. We have feet, and we're supposed to use them right now. We have work to do together because your two beautiful feet are the feet of the messengers who announce peace, who bring good news. Your feet are the ones who announce salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns. Your God reigns, for Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed."
So let's get up, rise up, stand up, and step into the kingdom to praise our wonderful, resurrecting, recreating God. Let's stand and sing. Hymn number 72 in Sing the Story. We are often tossed and driven. Let's pray. God, we are amazed at your holy power to defeat death, your holy compassion to draw us near to you, your holy love to want to stand with us again in your new garden, beautiful feet everywhere. Thank you in advance for hearing our prayers and for protecting us, healing us, and blessing us. God, we pray also, as you call us to, for our enemies, for the hungry, the poor, the oppressed, for those who are mourning, depressed, confused, and anxious, for peace, for our children and our youth, for the sick and for all of creation, for the leaders and institutions of the world, for workers of all kinds, for this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets. And now standing on our own two beautiful feet, knowing that Jesus is still now standing on his two beautiful feet, we pray as he taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let's sing and stand hymn number 39 and sing the story, Will You Come and Follow Me? Stand and sing. Go from this place on your two beautiful feet in celebration because you have heard of God's great plan of salvation for humankind. Go in joy because the living Jesus has redeemed you. Go in trust and hope because the Holy Spirit guides you. Go in remembrance because this is the day of resurrection. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Please stay standing for our sending song, number 40, and sing the story, Om Landela. We will follow. Number 40.
Thank you.